You're listening to Real Without Religion with James Kiger, a podcast for spiritual seekers, ex-Christians, and anyone who's done with fear-based faith but still believes in something more. We're not here to argue. We're here to awaken. No guilt, no shame, no dogma. Just real talk, real truth, and real freedom. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey friends, welcome back to Real Without Religion. I'm James Kiger, and today we're going to talk about something that stirs up all kind of energy for people. Money. Yeah, I said it, money. But before you reach for that skip button, hold on. This isn't some prosperity preacher's pitch, and it's definitely not a guilt trip about wanting a little more breathing room in your banking account. This is about money and abundance as spiritual. Yeah, spiritual forces. We're going to talk about flow, about law, about energy. But let's start here. Money is not the enemy. Scarcity is. I want to say that again. Money's not the enemy. Scarcity is. Some of us grew up hearing that good people shouldn't care about money. Others were taught that if you had money, that it meant that God loved you best, or somehow you cheated to get that money, or you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. And all that's just noise, and it's not necessarily true. But here's the real deal. Money is neutral. It's not moral. It's just a mirror. It reflects who we are and what we believe. So today we're going to peel back the beliefs that we might have picked up without even realizing it and see how we can start moving forward to something that's more honest, more aligned, and more alive. So let's go ahead and dig in. Most of us didn't grow up hearing that money could be spiritual. In fact, we were taught the opposite. Maybe you heard this as well as I did, that money is the root of all evil. Or it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle. So what happens then? Well, we start to believe that being broke is humble, that struggling is holy, that wanting more is some kind of spiritual betrayal. I grew up singing that old song, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. And sure, you know, contentment's great, but at the same time, we were told we'd have a mansion in heaven. So we're okay with mass abundance later, but not now? You know, I was also taught that unless you were sweating and worn out, you didn't really earn it. The charging a fair price meant undervaluing your time and gifts. Like, money was only okay if you suffered to get it. And I'll be honest, I still wrestle with this stuff. This is a big, big roadblock to my growth. But trust me when I say this is the one that I want a breakthrough in. And I'm not looking for that because I necessarily have to be rich, but because it's the one thing that was so ingrained in me that I want to root out of my belief system. But here's what's true. The Bible doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money, the obsession with it. That becomes the root of all kinds of evil. We know that. That makes sense. But money itself, it's just a tool. It just amplifies who we already are. So if a person is generous without it, then they're going to be generous with it even more. If we're tight-fisted and tight and anxious, then money just makes that louder. So let's be clear. Money doesn't make you holy or unholy. And struggle isn't the only way to be spiritual. Let me say it again. Money is just a mirror. And when we clean that mirror up, we see the truth of who we are and what we're here to create. So let's talk about abundance, because abundance isn't just about money. It's about how you live, how you breathe, and how you trust. Florence Scovel Shinn said, God is your supply, not your job, not the stock market, not your relationship status. Your source is spiritual, and it's always available. And the universe is always on your side, wanting to supply for you. Wallace Wattles, in the great book, The Science of Getting Rich, talks about that there's a thinking substance that responds to thought. He said, when you think with faith and clarity and intention, life starts to move and opportunities open and things align. And he also said that's a sin to be poor. Now don't get hung up on that. He's not blaming people in poverty. He's just saying that poverty is out of sync with the abundant nature of the universe. But it's a state we were conditioned into, not what we were born for. Catherine Ponder wrote a great book on divine principles of prosperity. She says that when you're prosperous, you're in a position to help others. Prosperity isn't selfish, it's how we serve. Now, even Jesus said, you will always have the poor among you, but that wasn't a command to stay poor. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the permission that you need to thrive here, now, not just someday in heaven with all your jewels and crowns and your big mansion next to Elvis. All you have to do is look at nature to see this is true. Trees just don't grow one leaf. Apple trees just don't grow one apple. The ocean doesn't just give you one wave. Life overflows in abundance. And we're part of that nature. So why do we tighten up when we imagine something better for ourselves? Think of it this way. Money is like water. It flows to where it's welcomed, where there's openness. But when we clench and hoard or live in fear, we block it. When we doubt that we will be provided for, we block it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that each one should give what they've decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. See, that's what we've been talking about. That's flow, and that's trust. So if we want to shift our relationship with money, we don't start with our wallet. We start with our beliefs about money. We start with flowing. Again, I'm saying you, but the other four fingers of my hands are pointing back at good old James, because I've probably read more books on money than anything else. Not because I just want to be rich for being rich's sake, but I just don't want to feel like I'm always clawing for survival. I want peace. I want flow, and I want to not think about money. I just want to know that it's going to be there. Now, does it appear magically out of nowhere? No, we give the universe things to work with to be able to provide that for us. And you know what? For me to worry about that or think about that, that's okay. We all want to feel like we're not just scraping by, but we want to feel like we're living. I bet you've seen it in your own life too. You know, someone hands you an envelope with exactly the amount of money you needed. A friend calls out of nowhere and says, hey, you know, I just felt led to bless you. That just doesn't happen in church to people that are tithing. That's what happens in the universe. Not because of people's holiness, but because that's how the laws work. Maybe you had someone buy your coffee in the drive-thru ahead of you, and gosh, you almost broke out in tears because it feels like the universe was just speaking to you that way. But what if that's not the exception? What if that's how it's supposed to be? You know, it's not because you sent a $399 seed gift to a preacher on television, but because that's how life flows when you're aligned. And that kind of provision, it's not supposed to be rare. It's supposed to be normal. So let's reverse that and talk about scarcity again. How does it show up? Again, it's not just about having enough money. It's the voice that says, you can't afford that. It's the guilt you feel when you spend on something that brings you joy. It's apologizing for asking for support. It's undercharging for the good work that you do. That's not wisdom. That's fear dressed up as humility. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, that's what we've been talking about. It's choosing a new pattern, a new way to think. Scarcity says you have to earn your worth. But abundance says you were worthy before you ever lifted a finger. And listen, again, I haven't mastered this. I still have days where I feel tight, or I catch myself playing small, or I look at my bank account and fear runs and, you know, grips my heart. But I'm working on it, and I want you to do that too, because we are to live in abundance. Tosha Silver said it best in It's Not Your Money, the book she wrote. You will be shown the steps, but the timing and the method are up to the divine. And that's part of this great dance that we have. We show up, the universe shows up, we open up, We trust, and things begin to happen in our lives. So in light of that, let me use this platform to share another business that I have that serves parents of high school students. Many don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of college or the process or how to get to college, but I'm a 28-year retired school counselor, and honestly, I could do it in my sleep. That's one thing I enjoy so much is helping parents and teenagers find their way through the college process. And my service helps them navigate the process, helps them to find the right schools and scholarships, and it's really, really great. So, what's my pitch? If you know someone who has a junior or a senior and needs help, we'll send them to my other webpage, www.faststart2college.com, faststart2college.com. Hey, listen, we have not because we ask not, right? So I'm asking the universe, I'm giving you my gift here, and I would like you to bless it and start this flow into my life because I have something wonderful to give and I want to be able to share it with people. Now let me leave you with this. You weren't put here to hustle your soul into the ground. You were made for peace, for partnership with life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't mean we won't work, but it means we don't have to grind it out either. We can walk lightly. There is a lighter way. Psalm 1 says, the person who delights in truth is like a tree planted by streams of water. Whatever they do will prosper. Now that's alignment. That's what flow looks like. And some of the best things that we've ever come to any of us has come by flow and not by forcing it. Those things come when we get clear, when we get quiet, when we trust, and when we're open. That's when the right things will show up. Now listen, you don't have to carry it all alone. You don't have to push so hard. Flow says what is meant for you is already on its way. So let the current carry you. So where does this leave us now? It leaves us with a choice. We can keep repeating our old story. We can believe the things that were programmed into our minds. We didn't even put them there. They were put there probably by our parents. Or we can write a new script. We don't have to feel guilty for wanting to feel free. We don't have to be afraid to ask for more. So this week, just notice how you talk about money. Notice those little phrases that you use. Are they full of fear and doubt? Or are they full of flow? Then write one new truth, just one. Maybe it's, I'm open to receiving with ease, or money flows to me in divine timing and in perfect ways. Say that and feel it and live it. Now I'm going to believe as the inquiries start to come in with my services to parents that I'm going to put this to the test and I'll be able to come back to you and say, hey, this definitely does work. So next time we're going to talk about embodiment and how to actually become the version of you that already lives in that truth. So folks, thanks again for joining me on this journey. Until next time, again, stay grounded, stay curious, and stay real.
Thanks for joining us on Real Without Religion. If this stirred something deep within you, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's ready to wake up. You don't have to go back to the box. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be willing to be real and trust what's already inside you. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and stay real.